the way you have, you've been presenting yourself with liberty behind bars and preacher.
I think that's a good combination, okay? He served with liberty behind bars and as a preacher. Very good.
God. Thank you, Pastor. Yes, sir. It's good to be home. It's a sweet thing to be home in the home church you got saved in. And quite frankly, I grew up my Christian life in this church. And so it's good, you know, after 4 or 5 weeks being out there preaching, the Lord, you know, blessing. But I tell people this, and they're like, oh, aren't you excited to get to go home and you get to preach in your own church? I said, it is. It's very sweet to be home, but it's also a balance because I have friends here who I love. But you know what? God called me to be a preacher over a friendship.
Amen.
That's just reality. God called me to preach the Word of God over any friendship. And I see a lot of preachers out there, they struggle when they get behind that pulpit and they got something from God and they got to say it, but they're too afraid to say it because they got friends sitting there. And I'm just telling you now, it's a horrible, horrible thing to be trapped in. And I thank God that I was not trapped in that thing, that He delivered me from that at an early age in my Christian life. It's good to see the Asquith sitting over there. I seen Sam sitting there with his arm. I was like, whoa, man, they're married now. He could do that. And it's a blessing to see them. Good to see the Edwards. Yeah, we pray for you guys. We love you. Glad to see you doing good. He's got a business going now out there. He's got a construction business going. He's licensed fully. And so, you know, him and his family are being blessed. Amen. Stephanie's been a long time. We get to see Miss Fish sitting back there. Eric and crew. That's who I wanted to pick out. Eric and crew. I seen him walk in. And so it's just good to see everybody. It's good to see everybody that's here. Nick keeps me on my toes when he comes up and says some things to me. It gets me thinking. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's how you take it. But he got me thinking this morning. I said, well, guess what, Nick? I'm not preaching on myself today. I'm not preaching my testimony today. I've been begging God to give me new messages. Not because there's anything wrong with my testimony. Not because there's anything wrong where God has brought me from and what He's doing at Liberty Behind Bars. And by the way, I just want to thank Pastor Hand for calling attention to my family because they are my backbone. Amen. They are the ones who keep me going out there on the street. They are my wife keeps my clothes done. She keeps me going. She encourages me when things look rough. My children, Luke encourages me. He does things with computers. He gets the projectors going. And so they're fully involved. Autumn's babysitting. She's singing now. Her and her mom and stuff were singing yesterday. And so all those things there that nobody sees while we're out there on the road, but they are. You know what? They get to see me in the good and bad.
Man.
And they're still with me.
Amen.
That's a blessing. And so let me just say this. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity. The Lord put something on my heart when I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago, and I was searching out the scriptures, and I just couldn't shake this thing, and I said, all right, Lord, is this something that you want me to preach? Because if it is, remember, Pastor, me telling you Wednesday and Thursday, I had no clue what I was going to preach. And then when I got up Friday, I understood exactly what I was preaching. I preached yesterday in Buffalo, Lancaster, is where we were. I preached out there. We did a one-day revival. The Lord gave me a message for that. And today, I stand here not because this is something that I like to preach. And that's one of the things that I learned out there being on the road is this. When God opens a door for you to go in there and preach, you got to preach what He gave you. That's the responsibility He has given me.
Amen.
And I need to stick with that because look, one day, many people don't know that when there's a pastor or an evangelist or standing up here and they're preaching, that they're going to be held accountable for those words that they say from behind this pulpit. That's a serious thing for me. I was just telling my Sunday school class, when we're traveling and we're out there and we're in a hotel room and my wife and my children, they're sleeping peacefully. Thank God for that. When they're out there sleeping peacefully, I'm up crying. I'm up begging God, please help me. Give me the words to preach. Give me what needs to be said. Because that's important to me, Joshua. I'm going to be held accountable for what is said to those people who are sitting in the congregation. So if you would, turn with me real quick to Revelation chapter 21. Is this my water?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Revelation chapter 21. I probably should turn there myself. I do need to open my Bible. Revelation 21. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read 7 and 8. And it says this, and it says that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. God, it's a promise that God has given to his children. And it says, I will be his God. Thank God he's my God. And it shall be my son. Imagine I being called the son of God. What a wonderful thing that God would look down upon a person like me and invite me into his family and call me his son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and the all liars. Whether that's a white lie or a big lie, you see, it's all lies. You had to put all in there because some people say, well, I only tell little white lies. Well, it's all lies.
Amen. That's right, amen.
He doesn't exclude the little white lies. Well, if that's all you ever did was just tell a little white lie, you're going to burn in hell just like a murderer will. That's what it said. It says, all liars shall. Look at man, there's no room for maybes, if and no, this it shall. This will happen to a person who's trapped in this. It shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And here's what I want to concentrate on today is it says, but the fearful and unbelieving. There's a fear in the churches today that's sweeping that people are afraid to believe. They're trapped in a fear of not wanting to believe. Let me just show you something. Let me build on something here. Fear, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is an unpleasant emotion caused by a threat or a danger. It's caused by pain or harm. It's caused by an anxiety concerning the outcome of something. And there are people who are sitting in this church with a fear that they're just not going to believe good enough. They're not going to be able to believe on a certain level. It says here, unbelief is doubt. A feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction. It's one who questions the truth or the fact of something. To be in fear, to be afraid because of the lack of faith. And so we see that there are people, when we travel around, we're watching the pews and we're watching the people in the churches, and we just see a fear sweep over these people when God challenges them to believe. I was talking to somebody, and I said, it's your choice to believe. And I watched the fear come over his face. And I watched the fear come over his face and it stopped him from believing. Mm-hmm. And he's got to go to hell because of it.
Right.
The fearful unbelieving is in the same sentence as those who are whoremongers and murderers and liars. It's going to send people to hell, Tim. Because they're too afraid to believe. Who does God give saving faith to? Those who believe.
Amen.
Galatians 5:22. Or 3:22. I think maybe it's 3 or 5. But it gives saving faith to those. Listen, if you're not going to believe, if you're too afraid to believe, then you'll never get the saving faith. Fear is the driving force behind unbelief. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out all fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. How many of you sit in this church pews today in torment because you can't believe? You're being tormented. Day in and day out, you're being in torment. Because why? Because you're afraid to believe. It's a torment to live that way, Brother Ron.
Yes, it is.
Wasn't it a torment, Amy? Do you remember those torments that we used to live because we were afraid to believe? Wasn't a fun thing to do, Joshua. Wasn't a fun place to live. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How are you ever going to be made perfect in love when you're afraid to do it? Well, it gets crazier than that. I'm just going to keep preaching because sometimes I feel like jumping ahead of myself and I need to stop. But you can't be made perfect in love when you're afraid. And it goes on and it says, it's a torment to be caught in the fear and unbelief. It's one who is afraid to believe. They're afraid that they will not believe the right way, or that their belief has not reached a certain level. The very notion of believing ushers in a fear, and once again, fear keeps them in unbelief, and that will send them to hell. That's what you will answer. Listen, most people that I'm talking about already know they're a sinner.
That's good.
Fear and unbelief is the rejection of Jesus Christ. If you're sitting in this room today and you have a fear and you're in unbelief, you are outright rejecting Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you're okay with it. You're all right with that. I wouldn't reject Jesus. You are. You are. Uh-huh. Watching a person who is caught in this fear and unbelief is like watching a dog chase its tail. They keep going in a circle over and over and over and over and over and over. Insanity, religion, and seeking God have the same effect on a person. They continue to do the same things over and over again and expect a different outcome that never happens. This is the torment that fear and unbelief keeps a person in. I've watched you for years. Chase your tail like a dog, and nothing has ever come about it. You think that one day you'd smart and go, maybe I need to look at this differently. A dog doesn't know better, John Mark, than stop doing it because it's never going to avail him anything. But you are, as a human being, know that maybe something should change.
Yeah.
But that fear of unbelief keeps you a prisoner. I was locked up in prison. Well, let me just tell you this. You're locked up in prison out here. Uh-huh. You're locked up in prison sitting in these church pews.
That's good.
Tupac Shakur said this, and I like pastor quotes music, so I'm going to quote. He says, you ain't got to be in prison to be doing time.
Amen.
That's right.
Remember, pastor, before I got saved, I remember I used to tell pastor all the time, I could be in a crowded room and be the loneliest person in that room.
Yeah.
Wow, I was trapped in my own prison of sin. I was trapped in that unbelief. I was trapped in that fear of believing. I just couldn't do it good enough. That's a torment. You tired of being tormented? Man, don't you want to get out of that? Don't you want to be made free from that torment of being trapped? Listen, I didn't say set free. Most people say set free. But the Bible says you'll be made free. That means God wants to give you something that you've never had. God help me finish this. Look at John chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, then come the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? Who just made them doubt? Jesus Christ made them doubt. Jesus Christ moved among those people and he made them doubt. He made them. The devil didn't make them doubt. Jesus just made them doubt. Why? So they can see where they are.
That's right.
He made them doubt. But everybody's out there, Pastor Hayne, telling, no, the devil made you doubt. Why'd the devil mess with you? He's got you right where he wants you. Why would he go out there and make you doubt? But the one who loves you makes you doubt. So that you can look at something. So that you can see exactly what you need to see. Look what it says. I'm going to go on here. And it says, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Let me ask you this. How much more plain can it get than this? How much more plain? Here's Jesus Christ's response. You guys ready? Here's what it says. I told you and you believed not. Case closed. Guilty. Boom. How much more plain can he tell us that's written in the Word of God? How much more are we looking for? How much are we going to nitpick every little tiny thing? What excuse are you trying to put on yourself now? That the reason why you won't believe? What is it now?
Come on.
What is it? Tell you plainly. Here you go. You mean to tell me that this isn't plain enough for you? You know what drives me crazy, Pastor? They'll believe in hell and torment. They'll believe they're a sinner, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ has saved them. That's nonsense. You don't believe any of this book.
That's right.
The problem is you don't even believe Jesus Christ died for you. You're not going to just believe one thing. You mean to tell me you're going to believe in a God that has sent you to hell but won't save you? Foolishness. Hey, man, I'm just telling you, it's in all the churches.
That's right.
We were in a church yesterday. Pretty crazy, isn't it? But that's what me and my family put up with. You know what's in those churches? Right here, I got that message. Being out there. Watching these people. Watching them. Surveying. Looking and saying, my God. My God, help. He said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Let me just say this, my friends. You watch people get saved in this church, and you watch their lives get turned upside down to get changed. How much more plain do you need to see that salvation is for you as well?
Amen.
How much more plain is it going to take them this time to see me and you? To know where we've come from. To see. But you can't believe. You're afraid to believe? That's because we were worse than them. We knew how to outwardly do it. They just do it inwardly. So therefore, they can't believe like we do. Nonsense. It's nonsense. The Bible says that Jesus is the one who causes doubt. Why? So that people can see that the devil and their self is deceiving them with fear and unbelief. Notice they asked Jesus to tell him plainly, and his response was, I told you, and you believe not. So let me ask you this. If he told you plainly, and you believe not, who's choosing to go to hell?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You'll choose to go to hell because you believe that, but you won't choose Jesus Christ who will save you. You won't believe that. That's what they're doing, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You'll believe God that He's condemning, that He's holy, He's righteous, and He'll send you to hell, but you cannot believe Him for your salvation? Wow.
No. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
You don't believe any of it. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says you're a liar. You're doing the works of your father, the devil. Because there is no truth in Him. And you know what? You're in Him. You're doing His works. It's plain in your life that you're believing what the devil says, but you don't believe what Jesus Christ said? And you expect to get saved on that? Do I hear a cricket?
Uh-huh.
It's quiet in here. Hey, let me say this. If you're doubting in here, that's not the devil right now. That's the Holy Ghost of God moving in the pews, just in case you didn't know that. Let me just tell you what's going on. Ain't because of me. I'm nobody. I'm just a vessel. I'm somebody who cares and loves for people in their soul, who above all things wants what Jesus Christ wants to give to every person sitting in these pews. That's all I care about. To believe is a choice. Jesus is the outside source trying to convince people of who He is, and they choose not to believe. Look at, turn with me to John chapter 10. I want you to see two things really quickly here. John chapter 10. I just read to you verses 24 and 25. Now I want you to see John chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Look what it says here. Remember, believing is a choice. So I want you to see this. This is only one of the many, many verses where God makes this plain to us. You look at verses 41 and 42 of John chapter 10, and it says, many resorted unto Him. They were thinking about what was said. And they said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. They just made a choice to believe exactly what John told them about Jesus Christ. How many more preachers, how many more evangelists, how many more Sunday school teachers have to get up here and tell you about Jesus Christ for you to make the choice to believe?
Right.
Isn't that a choice they just made to believe what John said about Jesus? Isn't that what that verse just said? What other convincing is it going to take? You've already been convinced you're going to die and go to hell. What else is it going to take for you to believe that you can live and go to heaven? How much more plain does it have to be told to you? Any more plain, you know what? You'll be in hell saying, how did I get here? That's how plain it'll be to you. Right. If that's what you're waiting for, then you go ahead and wait on it. You'll answer for that. Boy, I said this yesterday. People say, man, you're just a hard-nosed preacher, Dale. Hell is hot and eternity's long.
Come on.
I love you. I love people, man. I want to see them get the real thing. That's what I preached on yesterday. Do you have the real thing? Bob blew that church out of the frame. Why? Because they knew I was preaching they didn't have the real thing. Do you have the real thing? You better go examine yourself the way the Bible says to examine yourself. If you ever stood in front of a judge, you see how they examine you. Use that Bible to examine you that same exact way. But wait, Pastor, how can they examine themselves in a book they don't believe?
Mom.
You can't examine yourself to that book, Tim. Why? You don't believe it. How are you going to examine yourself then to see whether you be in the faith or not? How do you know you're not in the faith? You can't examine yourself against a book that you don't believe in. Well, I do believe the Bible. It must be saved. But I'm not. Then you don't believe. See, that's a torment. That's that circle that everybody keeps doing. Keep chasing the same thing over and over again and nothing happens. They made a choice to believe of what John spoke of Jesus. My friends, the Bible, the preaching is trying to do the same for you. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is of grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. What gospel are you waiting for to be preached unto you? What gospel? If I said, hey man, do you believe the gospel? Yeah, I believe the gospel. Then why aren't you saved?
Come on.
You can't say you believe the gospel and not be saved. That's impossible. That's either right. That or this book is a complete lie. That's how would you ever know when you do have it then?
Come on.
Fear and unbelief will keep you exactly where you're at. Enjoy it. Because that's what you're going to burn in hell doing. Fear and unbelief. With the torments. The last thing that's going to be on your mind are the sins you committed. Why? Because you're still in fear and unbelief. You may not even believe you're in hell. That might clear your fear up. That might clear your unbelief up. I doubt it. There are many who say they believe they're sinners. They believe God for punishment in hell. They believe that the devil is real, that the King James Bible is the Word of God. But they don't believe His Word for their salvation. That blows my mind. John 5, 38 through 40 says, and ye have not His Word abiding in you, for whom He hath sent ye believe not. That's how you know the Word's not abiding in you, because you don't believe. Who is the Word of God according to John 1:14? Anybody know who said it? Jesus. He's the Word of God. But you know what? You don't believe it. Why? The Word is not abiding in you. It says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think. Not that you know, that you think that you have eternal life. My friends, there are people in this church who are sitting here today who really believe they're saved. But if they really search the Scriptures, they come to find something different. But they won't examine themselves because they don't believe that book, Josh. Examine yourself against this and see what it tells you. Sinner and Christian alike. You examine yourself the way a judge and a jury would examine you with that book, and let's see what it does to you. Let's see if what you think that you have still can stand that test. Your eternity is riding on that. You keep playing Russian roulette with your soul, one day it's going to pull and you're going to be done.
That's right.
One day it's going to happen and there's nothing. The problem is you just keep thinking as you keep walking out of here, you're okay. Because I get to keep walking out of here. God's just going to go ahead and spare that. One day He's going to say, you know what? You're just not going to come to that place. God help. That would kill me, man, to know. To see somebody that I know that happened to. I don't know. I think I left down south, Pastor David Vernon's church. I said, please, Brother David, I hope I don't ever get a phone call from you saying, Dale, you're not going to believe what just happened. And knowing that person will be lost, the heartache, man, the heartbreak. I'm going to finish here in a minute. Many have the same fear and belief that Judas had and the devils had. I know what's been written about Judas Iscariot. I know that his fear, but I just want you to know this. Judas Iscariot is a good picture of lost people sitting in a church. And let me show you why. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Let me show you something here. Matthew chapter 27. We're going to read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to start in verse 3. And it says, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was what? What's that word say? That man knew he was condemned. How many of you in here today, if I was to ask you, do you think you're really condemned? Do you believe you're condemned under the laws of God? You'd believe just like Judas. He knew he was condemned. Why? Because his fear drove him to believe that. But look at this. And made him understand that he was a dead man. And it says he repented himself. What do you mean? So here we go. We have the workings of somebody who's going to get saved, right? He knew he was condemned and he repented himself. That means he had a change of mind. But you know what? It was too late. Look at this. It says that, and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He turned to man in religion. He was turning to man in religion instead of turning to God when he confessed that sin. And he says, and that I have betrayed innocent blood. You see what he said there? I have sinned. Just because you can admit you're a sinner doesn't mean anything to God. You can admit you're a sinner all day long. And let me ask you this. Has it changed you? Did it change Judas Iscariot? He was condemned. He understood that. And he knew that. And he admitted that he was a sinner. But let me ask you, did it change him? Did it change what happened in his life? Are you tired of being a Judas Iscariot? Believing that you walk around really condemned? I told a little story yesterday. I said, you know, when a person, a man or a woman, is sentenced to death, when they've been condemned in the state, whatever state they're in, do you know they fight for their life? You tell me that you feel like you're condemned, and I don't see you fighting for your life. I don't see you fighting for your soul. Why? Because you come to church, read your Bible at home or here. What's that called? Everybody does that. I know lost people that do the same thing you're doing. A condemned person is going to walk out of here, and you know what? Until they get a hold of Jesus Christ, they're not going to stop. Mm-hmm. You think those men stop putting in appeals after appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal? Am I right, brother? After appeal after appeal. How many times are you appealing to God under your condemnation?
Oh,
you're in church. Special meeting here. Look at... Let me tell you this. When you walk out of this church, you're still a condemned person. Yeah. You're condemned whether you're at home. You're condemned whether you're in church. You're condemned whether you're at work. You're condemned everywhere you go. Let me ask you this. Why is it only trying to bother you in here?
Amen.
How easy we shake that off. I can guarantee you this. Those people that are condemned in the state prisons, they're not shaking it off so easy. I promise you that. You know what the religious crowd says to Judas Iscariot? What is that to us? Hey, look, the religious people don't care about your soul. They don't care that you can admit you're a sinner. What is that to us? Hey, why don't you just pray this Roman, let's pray this prayer. Let's lead you down this Roman road to hell. Let's make you one of us.
Yeah.
That's what the religious crowd wants to do to you. Oh, not Jesus, though. Look at James 2:19. You've heard me preach this before, but I'm going to say it again. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." There are people who are sitting in this room who have the same belief as the devil. Let me ask you this. Does their belief change who they are? Does their belief change where they're going? And there are people in this room who say they believe, but it has not changed them one inkling. And it's still not going to change where they're going. They're believing the same way the devils believe, Miss Jody. They're believing the same way that Judas Iscariot believed. And they're okay with that. I'm not okay with it. You're okay with it. Then why won't you believe? What is it stopping you from believing? It's your choice to believe it. And it's God's job after you believe for Him to give you that saving faith. That's what it says. It gives saving faith to those who believe. People can't doubt a salvation they don't have because they don't believe the Word of God. I'm going to close with this. John 8:43 and 47 says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are the father of the devil, and the lust of your father you would do." He's a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Jesus Christ said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving it to you plainly. You'll believe that the devil's after you. You'll believe that he's trying to destroy your life. But you will not believe that Jesus Christ came to save you. You will not believe unto him for salvation. But you'll believe the devil over Jesus? He says, I tell you the truth and you believe me not. Then Jesus says, which of you convinces me of sin? You see, the devil's a sinner. And you'll believe him. But Jesus Christ comes speaking the truth and you won't believe him. And he says, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Why do you not believe me? Look, if what I preach here today is any part of who you are, why don't you believe Jesus?
Amen.
Why? What is it? I just don't think I can believe enough. He didn't ask you that. Show me where it says that. Somebody says that you have to have a different level of belief than so-and-so, or you've got to have this type of belief here. You show me where it says that in the Bible.
No.
What fear is stopping you from believing what this Bible says? What is it? Whatever days God has left written for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to let them be in fear and unbelief and then have to answer for that? Is that what's going to take you out? It don't have to be today, my friends. Mm-hmm. Today is the day of salvation. It's what the Bible says. You can be saved today. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that because I haven't. You see, that fear gives you an excuse already to excuse it away. If I say, go ahead and believe, make the choice and believe. You go, well, you're already excusing it away because that fear of unbelief has overtaken you. It's got you trapped in a prison and you will not let it go. You will not let that door open for you.
That's right. Come on.
I really do want to believe, then believe.
Yeah.
Did you have a problem believing that that pew was going to hold you up when you came in here? No, you did not. Then why can't you believe Jesus Christ for salvation?
Yeah.
Tell me that. Do you believe that when you get in the car, you can turn that key and you're going to drive away as long as it's running? But you can't believe Jesus Christ for salvation? Why? I didn't see you have a fear getting in the car. I didn't see you having a fear sitting in that church pew. But you're going to have a fear of the one who's going to save your life?
Yeah.
That you're just not going to believe good enough? Come on, my friends. Listen, God has sent a message to Black Creek today.
Amen.
There's no doubt in my mind that I knew when I was preaching this, I knew that God had given that to me for people in this room, for people in other churches. And I'm telling you now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to not believe that He sent that message to you? Are you going to come up with some excuse of why you're not going to believe it this time? Is what is it going to be this time? What excuse are you going to come up with in your head that you're just not going to do it once again, that you just can't get deep enough, that you just can't dig far enough back? Tell me that. You already believe you're a sinner, condemned and going to hell, but you won't believe the answer, Jesus Christ the Savior. Pastor, I'm done.
Thank you, Brother Dale.
Yes, sir.
This is invitation time. It'd be an invitation of where you are. It'd be an invitation up here. It makes no difference. It's not the location. That's what I mean. It's you. We're going to start with page 104.